Buenos días, mi gente. ¿Qué tal? ¿Cómo estamos? This is Isela, your host, and we are live on KVOM 1440. I want to let you know que Feliz Navidad y Próspero Año Nuevo. I don't know if I'll be on the air for el Año Nuevo, but I will be here for la Navidad. I know que estamos a 22. Today is the 22nd of December. ¿Y qué más y qué mejor que estar en la radio y tenerlos aquí? I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about cositas que están pasando para la Navidad and some of those costumbres that we really aren't acostumbrados. I actually went to a Christmas party this, what was it, Friday? And it was really interesting to know that there are different costumbres in Latinoamérica that, you know, you're kind of like, wow, this is interesting. And I really enjoyed the food. Y antes que entre a detalle de eso, we have a great show for you today. Tenemos a Rebecca viniendo y nos va a hablar sobre Lilliput y sus servicios. This isn't the first time she's been in our studio. This is the first time she's been in our studio, the new studio. But she's going to talk to us about cómo es que podemos dar y hacer un gran impacto en las vidas de nuestros foster kids que se encuentran aquí en el condado. Or even los servicios se expanden. Más allá de afuera de el condado de Napa. So we will be talking to Rebecca here shortly. So quédense en sintonía. Pero como siempre, we always talk a little bit about statistics. We talk a little bit about Navidad. Y pues más que nada, I wanted to let you guys know that I was reading a little bit about Nicaragua and what it is that they do for their holidays. And so I'm just going to repeat a couple of things and you'll see a little bit of the relevance. Yo siendo mexicana-americana, we celebrate las posadas. As well as los nicaragüenses también celebran las posadas, las pastorelas, los pastorcitos, kind of like what we would do as well. Santa Claus y el Niño Dios, same tradition there. Nacimiento del Niño Jesús, so they would kind of do the pastorela as well with the whole... I would say it's not just Catholic, but I think it's más costumbre, más que nada. And then, para recordar, there is Navidad en la costa del Caribe. There's fiesta de fin de año, el año viejo. So you're really much celebrating that the year is past and ongoing and leaving tradiciones regionales. And I can enter into that in just a minute. Fiestas patronales, kind of like what nosotros hacemos cuando vamos a nuestros pueblitos, ya después de que vamos a celebrar la Navidad, sabemos que le vamos a celebrar a un santo que representa nuestra comunidad donde vivimos. And let's get to the nitty gritty of the good stuff, de las comidas. And we're talking about lomo relleno, pollo en caldo. I could skip on the pollo en caldo because, you know, I'm not too into my pollo en caldo. But hey, nevertheless, it is muy, muy rico. There's un relleno navideño and then there's also gallina rellena, which is super awesome if you're thinking about cooking. I kind of step out of the comfort zone de los tamales and the pozole and step into something a little bit healthier like un caldo de pollo. Lord knows we need it by the end of the year. Yo ya me llené de tamales and all this great stuff that's going on right now and I'm really like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Am I even going to make it past the holidays, because ya me harté, and I'm ready to start the diet, really I am. So anyways, with that said, we're going to be talking throughout the show, otras costumbres. We're going to talk about la comida buenísima de Cuba. We're also going to talk about salvadoreños and their costumbres navideñas. And then, of course, nada más y nada menos que nosotros y la Navidad, que es lo que nos gusta. Ya sabemos que el tradicional pozole y tamales is what we use. Usually have. I think I talked about it the last show, but I'm not going to enter into great detail about that. But kind of, if you're online, tell us qué es lo que acostumbras comer para la Navidad, qué es lo que más te gusta. So let me know what it is that you're eating on Christmas Eve and New Year's. If it's any different than your typical tamales pozole. So anyhow, we're going to get going with the show. Y como les dije, tenía aquí a Miss Rebecca, and I have her coming in from Lilliput, and that is a great organization. It's called Lilliput Families, and I'm going to let her talk about her story. But before that, let me go ahead and welcome her to the show. So thank you for showing up, Miss Rebecca. I know it's short notice, but thanks for coming out. Of course. And so with that said, Rebecca, I wanted to ask, like, what is Lilliput Families?
We are a nonprofit. We work with kinship families, both formal and non-formal. We also work with, it's no longer called foster care. It's now called RFA, which is resource families.
Okay.
And we do the kinship resource families. We offer support services. We also offer support services for families who have adopted children. So we do a lot of stuff. If they need anything, we go out and we look for it. We provide Christmas gifts, birthday cakes,
clothing. That's awesome.
Whatever it is they need, we either provide it ourselves or we go out and we find it.
Okay, sounds good. Now, on Lilliput's behalf, right now, is it times 10, times 100 during the holidays that people come out and they help you guys out? Or
because
what does it look like?
Because there's so many nonprofits doing so many different things, mm-hmm. we're not the most well-known nonprofit in the Valley, so sometimes we're overlooked.
Okay.
So we do struggle a little bit when it comes to stuff like donations and okay. Christmas gifts and things like that, which is kind of sad because we're working with foster families and kinship families, you know.
Right.
And some of these families are really low income and they really need it.
Yeah, and I can see how some organizations are overserved and some are less. Do you ever see that there are organizations here in Napa County that give to your agency because they know that you're overlooked and not all that popular?
Places. I mean, the Salvation Army. We work with COPE, Expressions of Hope, the Foster Care Association. I mean, we do work with other people.
Okay.
So we don't like totally get forgotten about and overlooked, but very few people really know about us. And on top of it, it's tough because there are families that could really benefit from us that don't know about us, or they're scared because they think that we could be reporting to CPS or their immigration status or whatnot, but we don't report any of that stuff.
Okay. So I'm just going to say this really quick. I'm just going to read what was on your website of your story, how it's founder Bill Fuser. But I'm going to repeat it in Spanish just so some of the Spanish speaking families that are wondering what it is that I'm talking about today. So estamos hablando con la agencia no lucrativa de Lilliput. El fundador fue Bill Fuser. Él imagina una mejor manera de servir a los niños en hogares de guarda y también las familiares acortadas de brecha en los sectores públicos y privados. Los programas e iniciativas proporcionan una base sólida para que los niños y sus familias se aseguren que los niños que ingresan al sistema del cuidado de crianza temporal sean colocados con familias de por vida lo más rápido posible. And so with that said, esta agencia no lucrativa que se llama Lilliput está con nosotros esta mañana y explicándonos brevemente qué es lo que es el programa, y más que antes, que si necesitan más información, al final vamos a estar dando su número de teléfono y cómo es que puede servir este programa para su familia. So in short, I was just reading, you know, how how it all started, kind of like a dream for the founder of Bill Fuser, and then I'm just reading the story which he put on there. He said he envisioned a better way to serve children in foster care and families by bridging the gap between the public and private sectors. Your programs and initiatives provide a stronger foundation for children and their families and ensure that children who enter the foster care system are placed with lifelong families and as quickly as possible. And so I think that's awesome to pertain to someone that would make such an impact on children. Now, Lilliput is fairly new, right?
Lilliput's been in Napa since 2000. Well, I was going through their program. I think I started their program in 2009.
Okay.
So they've been around a few years.
Right.
And I just happened to go, because I took in a child that's not my biological child, and I went down to the county. And I was asking for some sort of help, something. Dad had been deported. Mom was MIA. And I had and because I wasn't related or married to anybody in the family, I couldn't get any financial assistance. And because parents weren't around, I couldn't get child support or anything. So I didn't qualify for like the KIN gap and the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we'll go down to Lilliput. So I went through the Lilliput program for years. Me and the child and my biological children, we would go to the events. Like we would go do gingerbread house event where, as a family, we could go and do the gingerbread houses and see that there's other families like ours that's not the most traditional, but family's right. family. And then 2 years ago, they pulled me on board. So they've been around a minute, but not too long.
Right.
And the focus of Lilliput is mostly kinship and adoption.
Okay.
Or that's all we do is kinship and adoption. So we do work with foster children, but we work with kinship foster families, which are like grandparents or aunts and uncles or, you know, family friend who became a foster parent specifically for this child. Now, I mean, they can still do other foster children.
Right. Now, what do you see most, like, now that you're talking about kinship and, like, whether it's, like, grandma and aunts, are these because someone passed, deportation, all of the above?
A lot of it, unfortunately, is substance abuse.
Okay.
I foresee with a lot of the laws that there's going to be more deportations. We have seen a few of those, but not so many.
Mm-hmm.
We also have families that are not foster families that have still, like, grandparents who have taken in kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having a hard time penetrating the Latino community because they're not as open about speaking about those things.
Right.
For a variety of reasons. Some of it's pride. Some of it's for fear of the immigration laws.
Yeah,
and
I think
whatnot.
It's more of fear.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit of both. And then on top of that, especially there is, like, for example, like if you, this happens in the Catholic kind of religion that si eres padrino or you're a godfather to this child and that person takes on your child after you've passed or you can no longer fend for you or your children. So that's kind of another thing, like, oh, I'm taking responsibility and not necessarily wanting to speak about the struggles and all that stuff that happens.
A lot of people stay hush-hush about it, which is sad because there's so many services out there. And, you know, when I got my oldest, I thought if I brought him into the house, just love him the same as the other children, treat him the same, and everything's going to be okay. Well, there's so much trauma involved in a lot of these situations. I mean, even if it's a parent that passed away or whatever, there's a lot of trauma. And it's hard. You just have to understand it's not exactly the same as a child who's gone through a more traditional setting. That, you know, they are going to need therapy. There are conversations that you have to have different. And that's the thing is, you know, oh, I'm just going to love him the same. You can't.
Well, and I think that's great. So through Lilliput, we can find those services of how to start those conversations.
Oh, yeah.
We have
books for even the little ones to help you kind of, you know, draw through it or make scrapbooks. Or we have families who have adopted family members' children, and they kind of, we have the books and, you know, you kind of fill in the information from birth through teens, and it kind of tells their story, so it makes it a little bit easier because it is hard to have some of these conversations.
No, I can go back to that and think about those conversations. I just feel like culturally we tend to think, well, if someone doesn't speak about it, then it doesn't matter, or it's not important, or it's not affecting them,
or they're going to be judged.
Yeah,
I think a lot of it has to do, you know, there are a lot of grandparents that are raising children, and I think they just don't want to talk about it. I don't think they want to admit that their children messed up and now they're picking up the pieces. I just think there's a lot of stigmas with it,
yeah.
But they're not the only ones out there.
Oh my goodness. This is an interesting plática. Okay. So with Lilliput, what are programs that, you talked about resources for family, kinship support, family finding services. What would that include?
That is actually not in our office.
Oh, okay.
That's our website.
General.
Yeah. Because we have many offices. I mean, we have an office up in Redding, Sacramento. Each office does things a little bit differently.
Okay. Depending on what is more.
What the need is, what the contract is with the county and stuff. But we don't, in our office, we don't do family finding. We focus on the kinship aspect.
Okay.
Whereas others, we have another office that focuses on the foster.
Can you define kinship? What is that?
Kinship is family members raising other family members' children.
Okay.
But we expand it. So Lilliput took me in. Like I said, I had no biologic relation to this child. I wasn't related to anybody in the family. I knew his parents.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called NIFRM, or NIFRM, something along those lines. I can never remember. But because I had that prior relationship with the child before he came into my home, I kind of fall under the kinship.
Okay.
So people, you don't have to be related.
Okay.
But you have to have had that prior relationship.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. So I am looking at the general website and it has me look up, you know, what's my local office, and I'm sure it'll take me from there.
Yeah.
So now you guys do not have post-adoption services at your facility.
We do, actually.
You do?
We do. Our main thing is kinship, but we do have our post-adopt person there at the office.
So what kind of services can you find in the post-adoptive services?
It's very similar to the kinship. So whatever, like if you need help finding therapy services, if you need help with Christmas gifts, if you're just having a rough time and you need a $20 gas card to get you through the week.
Okay.
And if we have those available, whatever it is to get you through the crunch.
Okay. And then is this also kind of like, hey, I've just adopted something. I just adopted someone. Excuse me. I'm reading online as I speak. Sorry. So you just adopted a child. And so would this help you kind of with the transition of just, you know, kind of walk you through the steps, what could be expected?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Now I have a child. I've never had a child before. Because some people, I mean, I think I've told you this before, but I've considered adopting, but then I'm always like, well, what's going to happen? I know this will probably be like maybe a different attitude. Is it going to be better? Is it going to be, you know, is it going to be a bigger hardship on me emotionally?
I think it depends on how you walk into
it. I know. I guess I'm just always scared of the unknown. So,
well, you know, I was just talking to my dad the other day. I was like, you know, what did you think of this whole process? Because now Junior has left the nest and he's in college. Yeah. So there are happy endings in these. And I don't think life would have been the same without him.
Yeah.
So I think it's how you go into it. When I took him in, he's just part of the family. That's it. We had a little backlash with the kids because they're like, oh, there's another person in the house. But now, you know, if you ask them, should we do foster care? They're like, no. But Junior just came in that perfect moment and we had that perfect attitude that he just blended in and he's one of ours now. But if you kind of go into it worrying, I think that you'll get a few more bumps in the road.
I'm like, okay, then I'm not ready yet. Oh, man. No, I guess I'm just wondering, like, is there a little bit of, like, social work and, hey, help me out, just because this might be so new. And then on top of that, let's just consider I did adopt. There's a huge gap from the last child I had.
Really?
That's 17 years.
I've got a 14-year gap. And I have to say, with the gap in my situation, I mean, I didn't adopt, but I have more patience.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess when you're younger, you're still a kid. You're a kid raising a kid.
It's just a different experience. Yeah. I think, and that's with any kid. I mean, every kid you get is going to be a little bit different.
Yeah.
And the age gap, I mean, we had great grandparents that adopted. Great-grandchildren.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they're raising them. So, I mean, age doesn't matter in this. If you love them, you love them. They're yours.
Ah, yeah, yeah. Tell me your last name, because I have not said it on the air.
Vega.
Okay. So, Rebecca Vega is here from Lilliput Families, and I'm going to go to a quick commercial break. But come back, because we're going to still talk about the ins and outs of Lilliput Families. I want to talk about the month of giving, and also because we are up for a new year here shortly. It is, don't overlook those agencies. I know a lot of people go to the most obvious, and look, I'm not around saying that there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you're giving, you're giving, right? So nothing wrong with that. But of course, look around, try and see which ones are those agencies that are really making a difference in children's lives.
Canby has a whole list of nonprofits.
Canby?
Yeah, they have a list of them that you wouldn't even otherwise know of, but are doing big things.
Right. And I think I looked at that list today, now that you said that. Okay, so anyhow, I will look up the list, and we will be back on the air here shortly. You're listening to La Hora with Isela on 1440 AM. Again, we have Lilliput in the house, and we will be talking to Rebecca here just in a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Llorar, ya sabes por qué Santa Claus llegó a la ciudad. Todo lo apunta, todo lo ve, sigue los pasos, estés donde estés. Santa Claus llegó a la ciudad. Sabe de ti, él sabe de mí, él lo sabe todo, intenta. sientes huir, Santa Claus llegó a la ciudad. Santa Claus llegó a la ciudad. Santa Claus llegó a la ciudad. Te observa cuando duermes, te mira al despertar. No intentes ocultarte de él, pues siempre te verá. Sabe de ti, sabe de mí, lo sabe todo. No intentes huir. Santa Claus llegó, Santa Claus llegó, Santa Claus llegó a la ciudad.
Hola, hola, ¿qué tal mi gente? You are back on KVON 1440. La hora, casi se me fue la onda. Can you believe that? This is La Hora with Isela on KVON 1440 AM. There it is. Happy holidays, everyone. Everyone heard my little Luigi Miguel playing Santa Claus is Coming to Town in Espanol. I totally enjoy that song, and I'm sure you're probably sick of me playing it every single time I'm on the air. But with that said, it is the month of giving. And with that, we have Rebecca Mega here in our studio. And we're talking about Lilliput families. We're talking about the special program that they have here as a nonprofit. We were talking about the services. So they have a kinship support services, post-adoption services, and then also the resources that are needed for kinship. And so I really thought that was important that we talk about that. We talk about that during the first segment. Now during the second segment, it would be really important to hear how is it that people can get involved. So with that said, I have Rebecca here letting us know qué es exactamente, how we can get more involved with Lilliput and where it is that we can donate or what is it that we can do to better this nonprofit agency. Rebecca?
Well, we can be called anytime.
Okay.
The phone number is 299-3909. You can call, make an appointment, come in, whether it's services or if you want to help. That's probably the easiest way to get us. There's, I'm trying to think of the name of the, that distracted me, sorry.
Sorry.
You can actually email me at rvenegas@lilliput.org. You can come in and visit us to come around, you know, take a look, see what's going on at 3299 Claremont Way, Suite 3. It's the same building as CRC across the street from Kaiser. Used to be the old Cybermill a long time ago.
Okay, yes. I know exactly where
so
you guys are.
So we're on the side where, like, if you walk in the door, you'd be looking at the back of Frida's and Sizzler's.
I can't believe we still have a Sizzler.
I know, it's great, though. Convenient.
I know. I'm like, oh my goodness. I used to want to have my birthday there every single year. But the one in Vallejo, I don't know if you remember that one. It was on Sonoma Boulevard. So I was like, I want to go to Sizzler for my birthday. I know that's random, but I had to put that out there.
Sizzler's just good. And for lunchtime, it's great to just walk out and there it is.
That's crazy. I haven't been in there. Anyway, we'll save that into like the old eats, right, for later.
Yes.
Okay, so you had explained that, you know, just emailing you, walking in, giving you a ring.
If you want to donate things, I don't want to sound like we're picky and snooty, but we're kind of shying away from used stuff. We take, you know, used stuff that's in really good condition.
Yeah.
But oftentimes we get stuff that's really not usable anymore.
Right.
So we don't encourage that. Right now we are looking for lots of pajamas to give away to our families.
Okay.
So if anybody is looking to do any donations, that is something that we are in need of.
That's sweet. So PJs, any size, you're talking about mom, dad, kids, everybody.
Mostly the kids, but okay. We have teenagers. You know, we got some boys that are like 6'4". And then we have little petite
babies. I still have trouble finding those. But yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, any size.
Any size, really. Okay. So there's your call to action. If you're willing to donate or wanting to donate and trying to find an agency to donate to.
And it's a tax write-off,
there
too.
You go. Lilliput Families here in Napa County is looking for PJ donations for the kids. And then, of course, any size. If you want to donate to mom and dad, of course, you can do that as well. But make sure you can you drop them off? You
said? Yeah.
So go ahead and drop them off at 3299 Claremont Way, Suite 3. We said that the location is exactly behind Frida's and Sizzler, so that would make it across the street from Kaiser, right?
Yeah, at the old CRC.
The old cyber mill. Oh my goodness. It's been a while since I even put that into perspective. And so now with that said, how many kids do you guys help? Do you guys have any kind of statistics or any?
I think we have about 200 kids in our program.
Wow. That's a lot.
So we do have a need.
Yeah.
I mean, most people think Napa, the Wine Valley, this and that. We have our struggles here, too.
You know, it's kind of interesting when you say where you're from and you're somewhere else, and people have this this perception of a wine glass and money just flying, almost like Vegas, right?
Yeah.
I'm from Vegas. You're like, no, I'm not from the Strip.
And we do have our poor areas here in town that no one wants to look at.
Right. I think that speaks volumes, especially for any town. I mean, you can go into Silicon Valley and there's ugly parts there. And I mean, everybody thinks Silicon Valley, IT and all this stuff and, you know, phenomenal. And then there's the ugly parts and no one wants to think about it. But we do. We have a lot of cities that need our help. And with that, I think just giving our little grain of salt, Lilliput Families is asking for PJs for the holiday season. But on top of that, we are asking for any other donation. That would be a great help.
And we also have a Caregiver Appreciation Day coming up, and we're looking for people to donate some time. What we do is we spend the morning providing a training for our caregivers.
Okay.
And then the afternoon, we say thank you by pulling in caregivers, whether it's doing massages or haircuts painting nails, whatever service someone wants to provide for 2 hours for free. It's a tax write-off.
That is awesome. So which day is that?
That is April 19th, I believe.
April 19th.
It should be a Saturday.
Okay. So let me just double check just to make sure it's a Saturday. I totally caught you off guard on that one. I'm so sorry. February, March, April. April 18th.
18th. There we go.
Okay.
I was close.
So April 18th is a Saturday. Caregiver's Day? Is that
Caregiver
what you...
Appreciation Day. Appreciation because Day. These caregivers... You know, they put so much into these kids. They are riding the emotional roller coasters with the kids. You know, we even have siblings who are taking care of their younger siblings for a variety of reasons. And, you know, one day they're a brother or sister. The next day they're a parent.
Yeah. Now, I don't think I've asked this, but, you know, what kind of situation would call for, like, a sibling to take care of another sibling? Is it maybe jailed parents or temporary?
It could be anything. You know, like there's the deportation issue. There's the drug epidemic. There's sudden deaths. There's, you know, cancer is rampant in this valley. And I blame all the pesticides I dump on the vineyards. But Napa County actually it's like the second or third in the state, I think, of cancer rates.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So we have some, you know, parents that are passing from that, you know. Wow.
I had no idea. That would be interesting to be looking into. Okay. So if you're just tuning in, I'm going to go to another commercial break. We did the call to action. Get involved. Join the cause. Lilliput Families is asking for PJs for the little ones this Christmas. And if you have a donation to drop off, hey, feel free to drop off at 3299 Claremont Way, Suite 3. Again, this is located across the street from the Kaiser Permanente
Clinic.
I was going to say hospital, and I'm like, it's not a hospital. So anyhow, and so if you do want a phone number, what's the phone number, Rebecca?
It's 299-3909.
Okay, you heard it. And so we'll be right back, and we'll hear a couple of commercials from our local sponsors. Be back soon. Uno! We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is La Hora with Isela on KVON 1440 AM. We are live in the studio. So I wanted to let you know who we are talking to. We're talking to Rebecca Vega, and she is talking to us about Lilliput and the services, nonprofit services that are available to. I'll talk to you who the audience is for, but mainly we're talking about children. And so before I go into just kind of resumidas cuentas of what the show was about today, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of statistics, and this is going off the lilliput.org website, and currently there are 65,000 children in foster care in California, and I'm sure that this will be updated on a yearly basis. 50% or less will not graduate from high school, and so this is the reason why that we're on the air and we're talking about, you know, how this agency can kind of bridge that gap and help and having these difficult conversations with families, especialmente con nuestra gente de cultura. We don't like to talk about these things. And so what best than to have it on the air and talk about these things? So 70% of females in foster care become pregnant by the age of 21. That's a huge statistic. That's hella. Sorry, I'm in California. I'm Bay Area. I'm saying hella.
No, it's scary. And the graduation rates, it's really 50%. Sad.
50%.
Yeah, and you know, then they want to go down. I'm not knocking Valley Oak at all. I'm really not. I just think that some of these kids don't realize their full potential. Because going from, even independent studies has the same issue. If you graduate, you can't go straight to a university. Mm. But these kids can do it. Mine did it. You know,
yeah.
I'm not a foster home, but I am a kinship family. And when I got him, he was in the third grade. He couldn't even tell me all the months in the year, let alone what order. He could barely read. And now he is a first-year freshman at Sac State.
Woo-hoo.
He got, let's see, this first semester was at 3 A's, 2 B's, and 1 C for his very first semester. That's at, what, 6 classes, a heavy load. So, I mean, a lot of these kids, oh, they're not going to be anything anyways.
That sucks.
That is the attitude. I had gang cops come up to me like, why would you even take this kid in? He's going to be worthless like his parents. I'm like, no, they have the opportunity, and they're resilient, and they're strong, and they're hardy. If you give them a chance, they will fly.
Right. I know. And I feel for these kids because it has to be someone that's just going to pick up and go, not think about it. I think that you were saying that at the beginning of the show when I'm sitting here asking a gazillion questions and I'm like, oh my gosh, is there going to be someone that's going to help me out? And this
we will
and that.
Hold your hand.
And that's awesome.
And we go down to the courthouse with people just getting guardianship and our families that want guardianship. We will go and we will hold your hand through the process. We will take you to the people that can help you fill out the strange questions. I mean, any of that.
Right. So, and let me just go back to some of these numbers. There's 25% of these children will grow up to have PTSD. And looking at this number, there's also 1 in 5 foster youth will be homeless within a year of aging out when they turn 21. So what do you mean aging out? Is it 18 or they can live with you up to 21? I mean, when is it?
So with the RFA program, it will go past a little bit past 18.
Yeah. Okay.
So they age out, and then the services and the program's a little bit different. But there are places like Voices helps out with that aging out process. There are programs that once they're 18 that the state will, I don't know how much it is, but will help pay rent. They'll give them a stipend for rent and stuff until they are more stable and whatnot. And places like Voices help bridge that gap. We will keep families in our program till the child's 21.
That's awesome. Yeah, because you really think about this, and it's not just the kinship, the adoption kind of service. It is like the whole path. You have to think about, oh my gosh, okay, I just adopted or I'm doing kinship, and then help me prepare this child to be a better person.
And we don't focus, I mean, our focus is on that child, but we work with the family as a whole. So we just did our toy shop to give gifts to the families. So the families come in, of course, get gifts for the kinship child. A little warm.
I just burned myself with my coffee. Holy smokes.
But they come in and they get gifts for the other kids, the biological children. So it's not just the whole focus. It's the family unit. And if, you know, one of the biological children are struggling, we'll help you to get that going. So it's a family thing, not just, oh, it's all about this one child. It's a family thing.
Right. Okay, let's see. So we talked about 70% of all females. Okay, 1 in 5 fosters will be homeless within a year.
The incarceration rates are higher.
28% of California's inmates are children formerly from foster care.
That's because there's so much trauma. You got to think, there's a reason why they left their traditional home setting. There's, you know, it doesn't matter what it is, whether they've been neglected or their parents are drug addicts or their parents have died. Yeah. That's all trauma. And being taken from a home that no matter how bad it is, that's what you know, and put in another home that you don't know, that's a whole nother trauma.
That is.
And we do trainings to help identify some of the traumas and how to deal with it. We do an ACEs program, and you'd be surprised. Have you heard of ACEs?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
And you'd be surprised how much of your own trauma you're carrying around.
You know, I had this conversation with someone else, and we were talking about something so small that people don't even think about. You know, you just met my son, U.S. Marine now, and a lot of people are, he's so outgoing, he's this, he's that. I said, he deals with his own trauma, and people don't understand what it is. But it's always that, because I had a child support case that went bad with his father. And so what ended up happening was that the child was removed from the house for a week. Didn't know mom, didn't know dad, side of the family.
And that little window.
That 1 week, I never got that little kid back. So a lot of people kind of think like, what do you mean? He was so outgoing. I said, you don't understand.
Peel back
you,
some of the layers.
Yeah. I said, so it really made him a little bit more self-aware, but then also gave him an insecurity of, are you going to be here when the bell rings after school? Are you going to be here like to pick me up? Are you going to be here to do this? So there's always been this lack, there's insecurity, and it comes in different colors.
Oh yeah. Everybody deals with colors. Different. But there's trauma, and that, you know, so people don't realize is, you know, there are, my children went through a trauma and they live with me. Mm-hmm. Now imagine a child who got ripped out of, no matter how bad it is, that was their world and that's what they know. That was their security.
Right.
Ripped out of that and put into something that's supposed to be safe, but it's so foreign to them.
Right. No, and I understand, where you're coming from. So we were talking about incarceration. Now it says last year, 34% of children who entered foster care systems were there due to parent drug use. This increase is in part due to the opioid crisis our nation is currently experiencing.
Oh, opioids and meth have taken this air. Napa has the issue. Napa, I think, is more of a meth issue than opioids. But drugs have definitely, that's how I ended up with my kid, my oldest. Because both parents were using.
Right.
Dad ultimately got deported. Mom's still using. I haven't heard from her in 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, I got the kid, never heard from her again. And you'd be surprised that there are other situations going on Napa like that. You'd be surprised.
Yeah. Yeah, I know we're going through opioid, and we're also going through a lot of sex-driven crimes.
And that's the other thing is, you know, people don't understand, particularly with the girls. Well, and I think that it's just quieter with the boys because of the stigma. But these children are more susceptible to sex trafficking. They're looking for that love, that someone to want them, and then it just turns into this disaster.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. This plática is definitely good, and I know we can sit here and talk hours. So we were talking about Lilliput during the second segment, how people could get involved. You said... Caregivers Appreciation Day is April 18th, which is a Saturday. So you can give donations to these wonderful caregivers, whether it's a massage, nail appointments, I would just say a pedicure.
If you want to do gift certificates, that's great. If you want to come in and donate your time, we would love that too. It's all a tax write-off. We're happy to give the slips for taxes. But you'd be surprised who you see in our program. And the amount of work that they put into these kids and the differences they make is absolutely amazing.
So if you're just tuning in, this is Laura with Isela. We have Rebecca Vega in the studio with Lilliput Families. And we were talking about, you know, los programas for our parents, for the children. You're kind of looking at the child as a whole. We're also looking for donations para la Navidad. Y somos bilingües. Yes, we are. Thank you, Rebecca, for reminding me. So how many bilingual staff do you have in your office?
We have three.
Officially three? Are you the fourth?
I'm the third.
Okay, good.
I get embarrassed sometimes, but I will speak Spanish because everybody teases me about it because I speak in the rancho. And so they see this white woman speaking it and they think it's hysterical. But even the lady who answers the phone, Brenda, she speaks Spanish. So you come in, there will always be a Spanish speaker.
Good. So this cause, what we're asking, the call of action for the holidays is any donation, any size, any which way you would like for Lilliput. And then second would be our pajamas for our children. So anywhere from little infants all the way to 6-7 feet tall.
Yeah,
individuals.
Because we do got some big kids.
They grow like weeds.
They do.
Oh, my goodness. It was a pleasure having you, Rebecca. Thank you so much for coming in on short notice. Especially, this is, like I said, it is a month of giving. And so, qué mejor que regalarles a nuestro futuro, nuestros hijos y familias. So, if you're just tuning in, again, this was La Hora with Isela. We're going to go. And unfortunately, we're going off air here shortly. Pero les quería agradecer. This is also our Christmas show. So, que hayan pasado una feliz Navidad acerca de su familia. You could say Merry Christmas to whomever you'd like, Miss Rebecca, because you're here.
Merry Christmas to the whole valley.
There you go. And so, pásenla bonito, coman mucho, tomen, but be responsible for sure. I don't want you on my streets. So, make sure.
Don't drink and drive, because cause children to be ending up in other places too.
I know. So it's, if you're going to drink responsibly. And of course, que se la pasen segura con su familia. So please have a wonderful and safe holiday. And I did have my holiday music plugged in until it got disconnected here. There was a couple distractions here in the studio. One was me getting burnt with hot coffee. So, my goodness. But with that said, I wanted to play one last song, of course, for before the holiday break. It's my favorite song, actually, because it's my little Mariah Carey. Hey. That's my interpretation of her singing. Anyhow, feliz Navidad y que pasen un feliz año nuevo. I am tuning out. This was La Hora with Isela on KVON 1440. Hasta la próxima, mi gente. Adiós. Nos vemos.
Make my wish come.